Pastor Butch Paul and I am filling in for Melody Seeds today for on Financial Survival. I hope you all don't mind me coming in today. It's 24 November 2021, the day before Thanksgiving. The only true Christian holiday in the country is Thanksgiving, and tomorrow should be a special day that we should take at least a little bit of time and thank our God and our Father and our Heavenly and our Creator for the things we do have. And I say things, I don't just mean material things. I mean the blessings of life altogether. I really mean that. So as you go through the headlines today and cover a lot of negative news perhaps, keep in mind tonight if you're blessed I am, you got a place to sleep and food to eat, and you're doing very well compared to a lot of people. Now I was hoping Wendy would join us today, but she hadn't joined us yet, so if not, it'll just be me and you. Melody took the day off, bless her heart, don't blame her at all. So we'll get started as always with the metals and see what's going on there. Gold's having a struggle again. You know, it was up in 1860s, 90 last week. Well, right now it's 1789, down $1.70. Silver down a little bit, 12 cents, 2362. Platinum is up 10, 984. Palladium is down 22, 1938. And rhodium took a pretty big hit, down 350 to 14,500. So metals are struggling. But I'm going to tell you what, don't even give up hope on that. Don't be discouraged. Just stop and think what silver was this time last year, running the teens, if at all. I mean, hanging on to that. So we are gaining ground steady. We may go two steps forward and a step back, but we're gaining ground. So the metals are taking a little bit of a whopping today, but that does happen from time to time, as you already know. Now, the markets, the Dow has lost some footing over the last few weeks. It was down 26 to 35,787. The NASDAQ was up 56 to 15,831. And the S&P was up 7 to 46,98. So that's pretty good, I guess. But it says the Dow was running 36 and up, and it's come down a ways. What it's going to do in the future, only God knows for sure. Even the people planning it don't always know for sure. The 10-year yield was down 0.2 at 164. Oil was down a little, 32% actually, down to 78.25. You know, when oil was up to $82, $83 a barrel, the price of gasoline went up here from 309 to 339. Now it's down to 78.25. It's not budging a bit on price. I never could understand how it could go up so quickly when the price raised, but it took it forever to come down when the price went down. But believe me, folks, the inflation on fuel was not over yet. The foreign markets, Japan was down slightly. I'll just go through them quickly. Hong Kong was up a little. London was up a little. And Germany was down slightly. So it's a mixed bag in the foreign markets. Nothing to get excited about. Nothing huge. Just a little bit of fluctuation here and there. But, you know, that's what it is. I mean, markets have always been that way. And you look over the years past and how they have seemingly gained a lot of ground. But when you count inflation and the other shenanigans they do to keep the market numbers up, they haven't gained as much as they thought they really have. The numbers look good, but the substance is not always that good. So that's just the way it is. It's always been that way, and I don't see it changing time in the near future. I truly don't. Now, we'll move on to the news. I don't guess Wendy's going to be joining us today, so move on to the news and get some things covered on the news. And this, I think, is a bit of good news for a change. You know, I don't have much confidence in politicians of any color. I don't care whether red or blue or independent. I don't care who they are. As far as I'm concerned, most politicians are just that. Politicians. That's what they are. But when somebody deserves a few accolades, and I don't mind giving it to them, and we have some moves sometimes to certain people in political life who do some things I think are at least somewhat decent. And we have some governors that are doing some things I think that are somewhat on the right track. But the Florida governor pushes for $1 billion cut in state gas and fuel taxes. I don't know about where you live, but we are one of the highest tax states in the country when it comes to fuel tax. West Virginia is one of the highest tax on state and federal taxes when it comes to fuel prices. If they were to take off some of those taxes, our prices will be way below average nationwide. But imagine the billions and trillions they pull in every little bit with the fuel taxes. But Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced on November 22nd that he will ask state lawmakers to cut gas and fuel taxes by $1 billion in the upcoming January session of the legislature. DeSantis said that nothing has pinched people more than these gas prices. In addition to relief for Floridians via the tax cut, he called on fuel stations to reduce prices by 25 cents per gallon. Now, I don't know the profits on fuel today, but way back when I was a young boy, in my teens, I worked at a service station. And the gentleman said he made a nickel a gallon, which paid the power bill in his station at the time. They made a nickel a gallon on the fuel. I'm sure it's higher than today. I don't know how much higher. If you can find somebody to tell you the truth and ask them, maybe they'll tell you. I'd say it's at least 25, 30 cents profit. I don't know if they can afford to do this or not and keep the hubbub water. I don't know. But the Governor DeSantis is asking, please, if you can, cut the cost of your fuel by 25 cents a gallon. DeSantis said he's concerned that an increase in salaries and wages will not be enough to cover the rising cost of goods. We've discussed that here in the past many times. The salaries have went up tremendously this past year. But inflation has surpassed it. You don't gain money by raising salaries because everything goes up. You don't gain. Said even if you start making more money, if the prices for goods and fuel are going up faster than your wages or salary, you're actually losing money in this inflationary economy. The governor added that he's pushing back on the Biden administration inflationary pressures. The governor said that he wanted to make a meaningful difference to the lives of people in Florida during the upcoming season. Gas prices are up $1.29 on average nationally November 22nd compared to the same time last year. Now, folks, $1.29, let's say that's a good figure. Let's say it is. So every 10 gallon you buy, you spend another roughly $13 out of your pocket. That is a good hit. That's a hard hit. And some people I know drive a lot of miles in a day back and forth to work. So yes, that's a huge increase in gas prices. So what's the answer? I don't know, maybe DeSantis here has got the right idea, asking the state legislators to cut taxes, which I would think they probably could. But I'll make this comment also. In most cases, when a government cuts taxes in one item, they raise it on another. You and I both know that's true. They're not going to take a loss. My friends, they're not going to take a loss. They don't have to. They have us to siphon off. Just think about that a little bit, okay? Monthly U.S. inflation to return to 0.2 to 0.3% in second half of 2022, says Yellen. Now, we will see on that. Possibly, but I seriously doubt this is going to happen. U.S. Trade Secretary Janet Yellen said Monday she expects current record high inflation to ease, with monthly rates falling back to 0.2 to 0.3% in the second half of 2022. I'm hoping and expecting in the second half of the year to see monthly CPI, Consumer Price Index, rates coming in more in the range of 2/10 or 3 cents, Yellen told in an annual meeting of the Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce in the state of Rhode Island. I think in the second half of next year, we'll begin to see inflation subside, and the way you'll be able to see that is by looking at monthly inflation rates, said Yellen. So we'll see. We'll see. If inflation continues at this current pace, they're saying 6.2% last month. I say it's closer to 18% by their own figures, but different figures that add up a lot more accurately than what they recommend. But let's just say it's 6%. It goes up every month for the next year, second half of next year, another 8 or 9 months, and drops back down to 0.2. Well, inflation is going to continue, and we're not going to back up and lose inflation. We're not going to go back down the scale. We're going to level off. So whatever goes up between now and the second half of next year will not go off. It won't go away. If gasoline goes to $3.80 a gallon, $4 a gallon, well, that's fine, I guess, because next year, about June or so, inflation may level off to only about 3% a month, 2.3% a month. But the price of fuel is not going down. It's still going to stay the same. So the goods you're buying now at the increased rate will not go back down. I don't see it happening. Wouldn't it be nice if it would? But I don't see it happen. I really don't. And one of the signs of the times on that is a little old story I'm not sure much people know about. It's called the dollar store. The dollar store is a fascinating little store full of knickknacks and whatnots and trinkets. You go in, you know, it's supposed to be no more than a dollar for any item in the store. Well, that is not as true any longer, obviously. So they're going to change it. It's going to change to a dollar and a quarter store, I guess. After 35 years of selling goods for a buck, Dollar Tree is boosting its standard price point to $1.25 by the end of April, the company said in a statement today, Tuesday. While the decision is not a reaction to short-term or transitory market conditions, Dollar Tree acknowledged the inflationary environment and said the price boost will help mitigate historically high costs, including freight and distribution expenses, as well as wage increases. Lifting the $1 constraint represents a monumental step for our organization, Chief Executive Officer Michael Winsky said in a statement. The move would allow Dollar Tree to expand its product assortment and reinforce some items that were pulled due to the dollar constraint. The move signals the end of the era for the Dollar Tree, which has long based its business on the price point as inflation pushes up the cost of many goods. You know, I don't want to add that. I mean, that's just sometimes we just need something to digest what they're saying. If something costs a dollar at the dollar store a year ago, Dollar Tree, it's a dollar and a quarter now, that means that item went up 25%. That item was up 25%. Whether it did it gradually or all at one time makes no difference. That price went from a dollar to $1.25. That's a 25% increase. And I know we don't sometimes think about it that way. It's just a quarter. But it's what the quarter signifies. It's a 25% increase. It's not just a quarter in the sense that, well, it's only a quarter. I understand what people are thinking, but 25% increase is a huge jump. Huge jump. And we're seeing so many factors affecting businesses. Inflation, of course, is a major one, but also we're seeing things happen all across the country in the way of thieves breaking, entering, and stealing right in broad daylight. Happening to, we'll say, bargain stores and higher class stores. Best Buy CEO, jump in theft is traumatizing staff. Folks, the moral substance, the moral standard for our country has dropped basically to almost nothing. And we're seeing the fruit of this coming forth of violence everywhere. And the Bible's talked about it in Matthew 24, that the violence would cover the earth. Well, it is. Best Buy CEO Corey Berry said theft is a growing problem at the company stores and it's implementing added security measures to safeguard employees and shoppers. This is traumatizing for our associates and is unacceptable, Berry said on a call with analysts Tuesday. We are doing everything we can to try to create a safe as possible environment. Berry said the company is implementing a number of tactics to minimize theft and protect staff and customers. For example, Best Buy is locking up more products and hiring security when appropriate. Berry said organized retail crime is on the rise at Best Buy. That tactic involves an organized gang of people. Now, repeat that, an organized gang of people who steal entire shelves of high-value products, such as electronics, to resell them for a profit. This is organized crime, folks. Maybe it's not the mafia, but it's organized crime. A crime surge is becoming such a problem that it's hitting Best Buy's profits and could hurt its ability to retain and attract more employees in a tight labor market, Berry said in an interview Tuesday on CNBC's Squawk Box, the squawk on the street. Some incidents involved individuals bringing a weapon, such a gun or a crowbar, she said. The retail industry is struggling to handle the escalation in organized retail theft. Now, these numbers are kind of staggering. A 2020 survey of 61 retailers from the National Retail Federation, the industry's largest trade group, showed organized retail theft jumped nearly 60% from 2015 and cost stores an average of $719,548 per $1 billion in sales. Three-quarters of a million, almost, in sales gone out of a billion because of theft. Now that is huge, my friends. That certainly is huge. And it cuts into the store's profits, and stores will make a profit or they won't stay in business. The only way they can fix that is by raising their prices. I heard a preacher friend of mine say something the other day on the radio. He was in a Lowe's store. If you know what Lowe's stores are, they sell, you know, home needs and, you know, everything from nuts and bolts on up to lawnmowers and everything else, and refrigerators and appliances. But he was in the nut and bolt section looking for some hardware. He heard an associate talking to another associate, said, "We've had to raise the price on these items 400%. 400%. After the one associate left, he asked the one individual, "Did you just say that you had raised prices 400%? And he said, "Yes, we did, because of theft. The people come in here, and there's a little plastic bag full of containers here. They rip it open, take two out, and throw the rest back in the drawer, so people think they're buying a full bag, and they're not. In order to make the difference up what we're losing, we had to raise the price of a nut 400%, a washer 400%, a bolt 400%. You and I are paying for the thieves. The thieves stealing the goods come right back to the consumer who's paying the bills." Please let that sink in, folks. That is huge. A 400% increase because of thievery in the store, and we got to pay it. That I would call that inflation also, wouldn't you? I believe you call it inflation. Whether it's done because of supply chain issues or what it may be, it's still inflation. And it hurts you and I. A new breed of brazen takeover robbers hitting California's luxury retailers is raising air. The mayhem began Friday night when thieves smashed a Louis Vuitton storefront window in San Francisco's Union Square and ransacked the store. Criminals also targeted about a dozen nearby stores for theft and vandalism, police said, including a Burberry and Herm store, as well as an eyeglass shop and cannabis dispensaries. On Sunday night, the raid of the Nordstrom in nearby Walnut Creek was even more audacious. Just before closing time, some 80 people jumped out of a pack of cars, flash mob style, and swarmed the aisles, many escaping with merchandise. Two employees were assaulted, one of them pepper sprayed. And just after midnight Sunday, criminals used a sledgehammer to smash storefront windows at the Louis Vuitton and Saks Fifth Avenue in Beverly Hills, police said, but patrol cars arrived to scare the thieves off before they could get inside. Late Monday, another group attempted to break into the Nordstrom at the Grove Supply Center in Los Angeles before leading the police on a high-speed chase. This is society today, folks. And we're going to pay for it in a lot of different ways. Better the break, don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All right, folks, we're back in. This is Pastor Butch Paul. As you know, I'm a co-host of Melody on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on the broadcast, and she's off today. I'm doing best to fill in for her. I can't do what she does. I'm not Melody, but I'll do what I can. And I hope you will take time to call her and ask her about some deals she can give you, maybe focus on something of substance besides paper and paper. The only options we have today are paper and digits on computer called Bitcoin, whatever. Those are the only other options you really have. I mean, think about it. Real money is tangible. It's gold and silver. Constitutional money, biblical money. Call her up at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Back to the problem with thievery in the stores. And again, that passes down to the consumer. How much do you think overall we can absorb before we start feeling it really hitting us hard also? Local police aim to stop smash and grabs amid holiday shopping season. This is in Roseville, California. Stopping the swarm of smash and grabs as holiday shoppers begin their buying spree, local police have a plan to keep criminals out. If you've seen them in action, gangs of thieves going into high-end stores, grabbing what they can and making a run for it, there's a beefed-up effort to stop them before they start. We're at the cusp of craziness. I'll repeat that. We're at the cusp of craziness, the start of what's expected to be the busiest shopping time of the year at the Roseville Galleria. There's definitely thousands of people who will come in, said Galleria General Manager Jeff Richardson. And as they come in, there is an added danger of those who might be caused of small features in a number of luxury brand stores. Lately, some of these brand stores have been in the bull's eye of brazen smash and grabs and mass robberies, from high-end handbags to gold and silver jewelry. With millions of dollars worth of merchandise on display, police admit it makes an attractive target for thieves. This is an increasingly alarming trend, said Rob Barcara, a spokesperson for the Roseville Police Department. Some stores have stationed armed guards up front, and others limit the number of customers allowed inside. Some stores have had to station armed guards out front. Well, I realize that's really what Kyle Rittenhouse did. He went out front of the business and tried to save him, didn't he? Same idea here. But this time it's sanctioned by the police without anybody getting in trouble. And so they're going to set armed guards out front and limit the number of customers in the store. That is a sign of a decaying society for sure. It truly is. And you know, the shrinking of the dollar, the shrinking of all the currencies in the world, the collapse of economies and nations all over the world, isn't anything really new. It started long before you and I were around. I mean, even Rome's economy collapsed when they started taking the precious metals out of the coins and minting things of cheaper value, trying to make it appear as if it's the equal to what was before. Obviously, that's not true. Since we've taken precious metals out of coins, like silver, for example, back in 64, although they want to tell you that it's the same value, it is not the same value. Coins are worth less, and the price of goods increased because the money's worth less. Not because the price of goods actually went up on their own, but the money buys less. So, Erdogan rate mantra fuels worst lira run in 20 years. The Turkish lira free fall is shattering all kinds of records as President Recep Tayyip Erdogan intensifying a campaign for lower interest rates plunges the economy deeper into crisis. The currency fell more than 10.4% on Tuesday, briefly plunging past the 13 per dollar for the first time ever. The leader's 11-day losing streak is now the longest in 20 years. In November alone, it lost almost a third of its value. Now, folks, that's in Turkey. That doesn't bother us. That's in Turkey. We shouldn't be so arrogant to think that we will escape that easily. We're not. Believe me, folks, America is a prime target for judgment right now. Prime target for judgment. And judgment started a long time before you and I ever talked. It's increasing intensity. It's growing every day. And with warnings given by Almighty God that we're ignoring. But the lira lost a third of its value in November. 33 and a third percent drop of the value of, we'll say, a dollar in 1 month. What would happen if that were here? What if next month your dollar, your paycheck, your social security check, whatever, would drop in value 33 and a third percent? Would that affect you at all? Would you feel any pain from that? Would you be concerned about that? Would you wonder how you're going to pay your bills? Would it bother me, folks? If you're getting $2,000 a month, that means that you lost a third of that. That is huge. That's over $600 a month going in value. How are you going to handle that? How are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to maintain when the thing you call money is going? How will you maintain it? I don't know. I know I could survive a while. Yes, I could. I've managed to store some food and put back some precious metals. I could survive a while. I have a water filter. I couldn't go on indefinitely, obviously, but I could survive. And I don't think most people like to think about this. I know I don't. But we as Americans have been somewhat shielded a lot of this for a long time, not because our money's worth anything. Our dollar's worth no more than the lira is. It's worth no more than it is. But we've been able to con nations and used it, backed it up with the goods from other nations, like oil, and it's maintained, we'll say, its value somewhat. But it's going to end. I'm trying to tell you this because I care. We're going to run into perilous times. And this is only one of the ways, folks. Your finances are going to go away. If they're in paper, they're paper. You can start a fire with them if you want to, I guess. That's what they do, something like that. But that's about it. Think about that. Different topic, but a very serious note nonetheless. Worldwide, we don't see it on the mainstream news. You can find it, though, on the alternative news stations. All over the world, Australia, UK, people are standing up and getting very angry over this tyrannical move by world leaders to imprison people because of a planned pandemic. Yes, folks, it's planned. And believe me, they're not done. The U.S. is right now, I'll maybe cover it in a minute, starting up to buy millions of dollars of smallpox vaccine. Smallpox is pretty much done away with. But now they're looking for another stronger strain to come. Now, that would just be an accident, right? That wouldn't be done on purpose, would it? Have to be an accident. But anyway, back to the article. De Blasio, pay attention, folks, pushes for no jab, no subway travel in New York City. He said, we know vaccine mandates work. New York City Mayor de Blasio appears to have called for a vaccine mandate on the subway, meaning anyone who hasn't taken a COVID vaccine will be banned from traveling throughout the city. One more time. Though in New York City, folks, that's way bigger than the whole population of our state. We got about 1.5 million in the whole state. They have a lot more than New York City. They if you haven't had the jab, you'll be banned from traveling on the subway, which means you're shut down. You miss about your basic traveling throughout the city. Most people travel subway because they don't want to drive through the town. You can understand that. De Blasio made the call on Twitter, writing, "We know vaccine mandates work." He knows they don't. But believe me, he doesn't care. Not many politicians care whether you live or die. They don't care whether you can buy groceries or not. They don't care. They're not in it to care about you and I. They're in it to take care of themselves and further the agenda that they've been told to further. But back to the article. He added, New York City is proof of that. Now let's go even further. I'm urging Governor Kathy Hochul to institute an MTA vaccine mandate. That's a mass transit authority vaccine mandate. Let's do what we can to keep our city, our residents, and our workforce safe. It would mean that not only would a vaccine mandate be placed to visit gyms, restaurants, cinemas, and the like, but also that anyone wanting to go anywhere, including traveling to work, would have to show proof of vaccination. Now, what could that lead to? How far could that go? I wonder what, if that could be expanded further then. If we think about that and people tolerate it, how far will it go before it goes into even crossing in a personal automobile? Who knows? Who knows? Riding buses, riding trains. Who knows? If that is tolerated, it will spread. Remember, folks, tyranny only works as long as the people allow it. Tyrants will not back down because you say please, even because you vote. Obviously, that's true, is it not? Only when you stand on your hind feet and say enough is enough, we'll die where we stand, we're not backing up. That's when it's going to start changing. Shortage of vaccinated nurses and prompts closure of ER on Long Island. Is this affecting health care? What do you think? This is Mount Sinai. Long Beach Emergency Department temporarily closed its doors on Monday because of a nurse staffing shortage as a result of the state's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for healthcare workers, the hospital said. Healthcare workers who were working on a temporary religious exemption and did not show proof of vaccination Monday were suspended. Listen to that. Healthcare workers who were working on temporary religious exemption and did not show proof of vaccination on Monday were suspended. Mount Sinai, South Nassau said 99% of the staff is fully vaccinated. Officials said that the decision to close the Long Beach ER came after all options were exhausted. Well, if 99% of the staff is vaccinated, does that include the nursing staff, the ER? Can't they run with one person of 100 not being there? I do believe they're lying to us, folks. I believe they're lying to us. The city of Long Beach posted on Facebook that both the police department and fire department will be available in the event someone needs transportation to medical care. Mount Sinai, South Nassau, said the closure could last a month or more as the hospital actively recruits qualified staff who are vaccinated for the coronavirus. If you believe that they have 99% vaccination rate, I got a nice big piece of oceanfront property I want to say right here in good old West Virginia. I really do, man. That's cheap, too. I'll let you have it really cheap. If you believe that 99% have been vaccinated and they can't run on 99% of the staff, I'd say you're pretty gullible. That's what I would say, and I just did. My goodness, folks. We have been so naive. We have been trained to follow. We've been trained to obey. Because they taught us that in school. They taught us that everywhere we go. Obey your leaders. Even the churches tell you that, you got to obey Caesar. That's not in the Bible, by the way. No. Romans 13 does not say that. Only in cases when Caesar is doing good and the laws are just are we to obey Caesar. That's government. When they are not, we are not only not obligated to not to obey him, we're commanded not to obey him. That's why Paul wrote Romans 13 out of prison. Most preachers don't tell you that, do they? New York moves to allow 800,000 non-citizens to vote in local elections. Well, this couldn't hurt anything. New York City lawmakers are poised to allow more than 800,000 New Yorkers who are green card holders where the legal right to work in the United States to vote in municipal elections and for the local ballot initiatives. The bill known as Our City, Our Vote will make New York City the largest municipality in the country to allow non-citizens to vote in local elections. The legislation, expected to be approved by the City Council on December 9th by veto-approved margin, comes as the county is dealing with a swath of new laws to impose voter restrictions, as well as economic and demographic effects of declining immigration. So yes, some of the areas are starting to say, no, we can't do this, but now the New York City, the country, is saying we're going to cut back on some of these illegal votes and change some things that didn't work. New York said, we're not going to do it here. Voters in Alabama, Colorado, and Florida passed ballot measures that last year specifying that U.S. citizens could, that only U.S. citizens could vote. Imagine that. Imagine only allowing citizens who pay taxes and live here. This is their place of abode. Those who actually are responsible for what's going on in this country, only those can vote. How rude. How inconsiderate. The states join Arizona and North Dakota in specifying that non-citizens cannot vote in state and local elections. Oh, those mean, mean, nasty people. It's important for the Democratic Party to look at New York City and see that when voting rights are being attacked, we're expanding voter participation, said Giannis Rodriguez, a councilman who sponsored the bill. He represents Washington Heights and Upper Manhattan. It's important for the Democratic Party to look at New York City and see that when voting rights are being attacked, since when do lawbreakers, illegals, of any kind of illegal, these people are illegal, folks, they're lawbreakers, since when do they have voting rights? Since when do non-citizens who pay no taxes here, who don't give a hoot what happens as long as they get their paycheck, be able to vote in an election, whether it be local, county, state, or federal? I don't care. How dare we be so narrow-minded, though, huh? That we would not allow them to vote. Simply because they are not a U.S. citizen. How narrow-minded we are. Won't they let us vote in Mexico? Where can we get down there and they let us vote in Mexico for their elections? Or maybe Taiwan or Russia or China? Would they let us vote in their elections? We're going to let them vote here. Why can't they let us vote there? Do you see an undermining of America? Do you see this is time for America to take a fall? America has been taken down on purpose, folks. One little chink of the foundation at a time. It's going down. Back at the break.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we're back to the last segment today. And again, this is Pastor Butch Paul filling in for Melody Cedarstrom, who's taking some time off for the holidays. And again, tomorrow being Thanksgiving, I like to call the holy day Thanksgiving, because it was set aside by people who understood the goodness of God long before this nation ever become what we call the United States. The Pilgrims and Puritans decided that we went to worship God for His goodness. And they suffered greatly when they first came over here under communism. Yes, the Pilgrims tried communism. It didn't work. Study for yourself. And when they quit that, they prospered. And they thanked God for that. And today, Thanksgiving. Tomorrow, no matter how rough things are, maybe perhaps you're going through some really hard times. If you're blessed to have family that cares, or if you're blessed to sit down at a table that has a bowl of beans on it, a piece of cornbread, thank God for it. If you're blessed to have, if you don't have central heat in the house, you got a wood burning stove in the front room, but your house is somewhat warm. You crawl in a warm bed. Thank God for that. That's all I can say, folks. This past Saturday, my wife and I had our 50th wedding anniversary. I survived 50 years. And I do not take for granted each time she fixes me a meal. Each time she does something to bless me and the whole family, actually. We live by ourselves now, but I don't take for granted that she's been with me that long and taking care of me that long. And vice versa, I like to think. So count your blessings tomorrow. Count them. Take time. Count a few of them. One by one if you can. You won't be able to count them all, but get a few of them. We're sharing some things tonight, folks, that is very serious times we're living in. As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says we're living in perilous times, dangerous times. And they're going to, according to the same chapter, it's going to get worse. But count your blessings while you can. I know that we've become soft people in this country as a whole. Spiritually and mentally and physically, we've become soft. We become selfish too, a lot of us. So this kind of blessings. All right. Move on, different story. Police officer fired for donating to Rittenhouse's defense demands his job back. This is so absurd, but Lieutenant William Kelly was fired from the Norfolk Police Department after he made an anonymous donation of $25. Wow, that's going to change a lot, right? The $25 to Kyle Rittenhouse's legal defense funds in April 2021. Now that Rittenhouse was found innocent of all charges, Kelly's demanding his job back, as he should. The 19-year-old police veteran was only 10 months away from his pension vesting when he was fired. That makes pretty good sense, too, doesn't it? 10 months away from retirement. Everything I'm saying is just my personal opinion. I've been a homicide detective, a violent crimes investigator for years. I have a background. I watched the video of the shooting. I've seen the video of the journalist of Mr. Rittenhouse before the shooting, the protesters before the shooting, and I thought it painted a pretty clear picture that Mr. Rittenhouse had a very strong claim for self-defense. Kelly saw that GoFundMe took down the fundraiser for Rittenhouse defense, but noticed that there was another page set up on the GiveSendGo platform to help with legal defense. That is when he decided to send an anonymous donation. Now, folks, pay attention to this. An anonymous donation with a note that read, "God bless. Thank you for your courage. Keep your head up. You've done nothing wrong. Every rank and file police officer supports you. I didn't want my city or police department to be associated with it, so I chose to donate anonymously. However, hackers obtained Kelly's information from the donation and sent it to The Guardian, who then ran a story listing officers and officials who donated to Rittenhouse. So hackers went into this GoFundMe account, so to speak, turned the names over, Although it was done anonymously, he couldn't do it. Folks, there's nothing done online anonymously. Understand that. Nothing. That resulted in the department firing him, citing an erosion of the public's trust in the police. They fired him because of erosion in the public's trust in the police, because they gave a $25 donation to help an innocent man. It wasn't people local. It was people from all around the country who read an article and sent a nasty tweet. In the absence of that outcry, there would have been not have been any kind of disciplinary action against me. I'm confident, Kelly said. This is America. You can agree with your neighbors and other people in your community, and you can disagree with them. Just because someone has a different opinion than you doesn't mean you should destroy their lives, take their job away. What organizations he donates to on his own time with his own money should be a private thing. In no way was it fair for him to be fired from his job for that. Personally, I think he should sue for back pay, and I do too. This is so sad. An individual can't even give an anonymous donation to help somebody that he knows is innocent of any serious crime without losing his job. Hackers finding it, turning it in, and him losing his job. That's America today also, isn't it, folks? It truly is. And if you ever follow any of the teachings I do online, if you go to Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, and click on my name, you'll find hundreds of hours of teachings online. You can find a lot we teach at the Bible studies on Brighteon also, brighteon.com. But when I do a teaching at church, when I have a Bible studies and teachings, I always take scripture and we do current events. We cover current events from the light of the Word of God and put in perspective of where we are in prophecy in this day and time. From Matthew 24, we'll hold these next few stories because it's what it says is going to happen. Wars, rumors of wars. Nation against nation. A kingdom against kingdom. By the way, the word, folks, nation against nation actually means race against race. Yeah, that's what it means. U.S. bomber flights prompt Russia, China to announce military cooperation. I do believe, folks, we'd be outgunned in a case like that. Russia and China approved of a roadmap on Tuesday that aims to improve the military relationship between the two countries, the Associated Press reported. Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu and Chinese Minister of National Defense Wei Feng met on a video call to discuss partnership. The two countries expressed a shared interest in stepping up strategic military exercises and joint patrols. China and Russia have been strategic partners for many years, Shoigu said. Today, in the conditions of increasing geopolitical turbulence and growing conflict potential in various parts of the world, and that development of our interaction is especially relevant. The announcement comes as the number of U.S. strategic bombers has increased along the borders of Russia and China. Shoigu said the bombers have come as close as 20 kilometers, which is 12 miles, to the Russian border over the past month. Meanwhile, similar flights occurred over the Sea of Azov. I can't say the word, but that's what it looks like to me. But nonetheless, Russian tensions and China are gaining, and so is China. So they're going to team up. Are they teaming up against the West, folks? How much confidence do you really think our allies now have in us? We pulled out of Vietnam. I know I'm a Vietnam era veteran. I saw it, broke my heart. We pulled out of Afghanistan. We beat back the Taliban, all the things of Afghanistan. We were just going to take it over and control it and bring peace to that region and bring prosperity to it. We pulled out within a few hours, or a few days, they were back in control. Inside Putin's Star Warrior weapon, as Russia threatens to destroy 33 NATO satellites to cripple missile systems. Russia's new weapon, dubbed Star Warrior, has the West worried as it can blast satellites out of orbit at heights of 500 miles above Earth. Vladimir Putin's state-owned TV issued a chilling threat that Russia may deploy the system to destroy some 32 Western satellites to render NATO missiles useless. It comes after Putin said used the weapon to destroy a redundant Soviet-era Tsina-D military reconnaissance satellite, blasting it into an orbital debris storm. Intelligence sources in the West and Russia believe the hunk of the space junk was annihilated by a new satellite killer missile system. So, We needn't think that our enemies, we'll call them enemies, are sitting still when it comes to preparing for war. They're not. Of course they're not. Why would they? They're not sitting still. They're building weapons. Weapons we don't know about. While our military might and morale is declining, theirs is growing. And now we're finding out that the Russian public is being primed for another Putin's wars. Make them tremble. The Kremlin's propaganda campaign at home is getting people ready for a reluctant move into Ukraine. Domestic propagandists and state TV pundits are promoting the idea of an inevitable confrontation with the West as Russia. Let me repeat that. An inevitable confrontation with the West. As Russia's military posture grows increasingly hostile, causing major concern for its nearest neighbors and NATO, Ukraine remains a crown jewel for the Kremlin, and the Russian public is being primed for the intended absorption of more territories under the umbrella of the Russian Federation, while NATO is being accused of fomenting the potential escalation. World War III is knocking at the door, warned one propagandist. One more time, folks, and I agree. World War III is knocking at the door. Whether or not the Kremlin is planning to speed up its creeping assault against Ukraine's Donbas region in the near future is a mystery even to the most knowledgeable experts with close access to Russian President Vladimir Putin. Nonetheless, they are eagerly fulfilled the Russian leader expressed intent to keep NATO and the West in general in a state of hypervigilance. There you go. Just like I said, just like it's written. We're seeing rumors of war. We're seeing more destruction shown in this country. We're seeing it every day, folks. Well, and we're hearing rumors now of another disease coming up, the one being smallpox. Smallpox is supposedly about eradicated many generations or decades ago. And now it's coming back. The U.S. government just bought $113 million in smallpox vaccines. They didn't buy them, folks, to set on a shelf, believe me. The U.S. government is preparing for the bioterror attack. One more time, the U.S. government is preparing for the bioterror attack of smallpox that Bill Gates announced previously. One report showed that the U.S. government has bought $113 million worth of TPOX from Seagut Technologies. Tropax represents an antiviral drug taken orally so it can fight smallpox. The financial report was shared only a couple of days after Gates warning about the potential bioterror attack by smallpox. The folks are not going to read all of it, but the point of it is they're preparing for another plandemic. Over the past decade, the U.S. government has procured or has current orders for approximately $705 million of TPOXX for national preparedness. The oral formulation of topics was approved by the FDA and for the treatment of smallpox in 2018. You say, preacher, we'll never end. Not unless we do what the Bible says as a nation. Get on our knees and repent. Ask God to forgive us for our national sins and murdering our children, sodomizing their sons, perverting their daughters. No, he won't. And let me just tell you another reason why, folks. Any nation that would even consider what I'm about to share with you, any nation that would consider it deserves nothing but damnation. I know you all know who Pete, I call him Buttgag, I guess it's Buttgag, I can't say him, but Pete Buttgag is considering running for president. At 39, he's the most recognizable and powerful transportation secretary in modern memory. And he wants you to believe his eye isn't on the future. Folks, this man is out of the closet sodomite with another sodomite as a husband or whatever, and they even adopted children and took maternity leave. And we think God doesn't see that? Since 2010, he has run for the treasurer of Indiana, mayor of South Bend, chair of the Democratic National Committee, and president of the United States. At 39, he's one of the most omnipresent and newly powerful members of President Joe Biden's cabinet. But he says he's not thinking about what comes next, even as he buzzed about a potential Biden heir. Well, Buttigieg says he's not contemplating the race to Biden's successor. Inside the West Wing, others are imagining it for him. His name is sometimes discussed by aides as a national Democratic competitor nominee in 2028 or 2024 if the president opts not to run. All I can say is, folks, if for him to even be mentioned as a potential but anything but a convict in prison for his immoral, ungodly acts is a crime on this nation, is a sin against this nation. And believe me, I'm telling you this because I know this spiritually, by studying scriptures and knowing something about the future. America is in for one heck of a ride ahead. Prepare yourself now. I don't know what's going to come down or when it's going to come down. I'm not a prophet in that sense. But the Bible tells you what's coming next. And folks, America is primed for judgment, and judgment's already started. Judgment started big time. We don't even see it. Right up to this pandemic is our proper judgment for the world, but America is where I live. Call Mel at 800-375-4188 and at least try to prepare yourself and your family for what's coming in the very near future. I don't know what's going to happen and how long will last. How long will this last you? I don't know. But our duty is as parents and as adults is to prepare ourselves and our families for what's coming. That's our duty to God, as well as our families. This is coming to a head, folks. Enjoy tomorrow. Please enjoy tomorrow and be thankful for what you do have. And pray that Father will guide us to the future. I'll be back with you next week on Monday. And so, Melody, have a great holiday. Bye-bye.
There never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.